Hey guys, welcome to the Wild PPC Bunch podcast. My name is Lazar and I'm a PPC nerd. I have over 10 years of experience in online advertising and currently I'm the owner of the growing Amazon advertising agency called Seller's Alley.
And I'm Brent, the owner of AMZ Pathfinder. I started this company 5 years ago and we've been working in online advertising since 2013.
Every week we will spend around 30 minutes covering one topic and it will get nerdy, I promise. We'll prepare a topic covering everything from PPC basics, in-depth strategy, and current trends.
One thing's for sure, you won't be bored and you will hear insights, tactics, and ideas straight from two experienced agency owners. So strap in for the ride and enjoy.
Hey guys, we have another episode, and in this episode, we're gonna talk about things that popped up on our radar so far this year. Hi, Brent.
Hey, Lazar. It's been a minute. Happy to have the band back together here.
Yeah, really cool because like for the last couple of episodes, we had some guests joining us and like finally we managed to work together on this one. And like there are so many things that we want to talk about and like to discuss. And like before if we started meeting, like recording this episode, we had like, what are the things that we wanted to share with the audience? And like, there's a bunch of stuff that happened so far this year. Like, do you want to start with something specific or like, do you want me to start with something randomly?
Yeah, I think we got a decent little list here together. And this is going to be, you know, kind of rapid fire going down the things that we've been noticing. Serving at the top of our respective organizations, talking to our teams and getting feedback from them about what we're seeing. Some of them are really nerdy, like super nuanced, and some of them are bigger picture. So there's actually one I want to start with. It's a news article. It's not a specific Amazon thing, but has to do with the number of sellers that have been added to Amazon so far in 2021. So here we are at the end of March recording this. And this is a story from this website, finbold.com, which I'm not familiar with, but it links to a Marketplace Pulse one, too, which is a pretty well-known Amazon blog. And apparently Amazon has added, on average, 3,700 new sellers each day in 2021. And that's across .com, you know, India, all the European marketplaces, everywhere. But that is a really impressive number. So like, if anyone has any doubt about the growth of e-commerce or Amazon as like a big, you know, player in the space globally, I think this should probably set that, you know, set your mind at ease.
Yeah, I'm looking at the graph, bro, like 2 sellers every minute.
Yeah.
That's huge. 155 new sellers every hour. That's insane. Like I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure that this is like not precise anymore because it was like written down on March 23rd, mm-hmm. and it said that it already had like 300k of new sellers so far, all around different marketplaces, and like the biggest one is .com, obviously with 26%.
Yeah, and then number two is India, which was certainly surprising, and that got a lot of headlines. I think in our small space here because the Amazon has pushed so intentionally into India. It is a English language, you know, mostly marketplace. So that's still kind of open to a lot of agencies that are based in North America, Europe, or like, you know, yours and mine. We work with a few Indian clients in the past, none right now, unfortunately, although we are talking to some. But mm-hmm. that's just a growth area. I think after Amazon kind of failed in China and has had such a kind of a lackluster result in Australia, they're really focused on that. You know, East Asian market of India in particular. So,
well, India is huge.
Yeah, it's massive.
It's massive. A massive country, and like, that's a huge opportunity as well. So, like, 10% of new sellers coming to Amazon India. That's like comparing to like all of the overall number, which means like 30,000 new sellers in India so far this year. That's a big number. That's a big number. Like, to be honest, I cannot compare it to last year's numbers because I don't know them.
Yeah, we don't have the same graph for last year. But I think at this time last year, and do you remember what you were doing? I personally was freaking out because of COVID.
Oh my God.
And I was worrying I was going to have to, like fire some people on the team because of constraints with that. But, you know, luckily that all turned out to be the opposite, actually. You know, e-commerce went ahead 5-6 years instead of being dragged back in the past, I'd say.
Like our episode number one was around a year ago, bro.
That is insane. A long time. That is a long time.
Yeah, that's really insane. Yeah. So I remember, like, obviously, Corona and COVID didn't leave. And like, one of the first things that we talked about is like PPC after COVID. But that was pretty optimistic from our end. Yeah, it happened. So like, okay. I don't want to talk about like dark topics.
No, nobody wants to hear about COVID. That's for sure. So let's move on next thing. So not a news story, but what do you got? What do you got for us, Lazar? We got a couple more subjects here.
Yeah, there are lots of stuff that are going on. Like in the last couple of weeks, like our team found out about like some different stuff. Like for sponsor project campaigns, there is like when you create campaign when you click on create, you end up with an overview of what you created, and it says like everything from like about campaign and ad group settings. It tells you like from portfolio, what's the schedule, what's the daily budget, what's the targeting type, and so on. Like they go pretty in depth. Like you get a list of stuff, so you don't need to double check everything that you used to double check. Mm-hmm, and like that's pretty interesting thing to see.
Yeah, this screen that you have, and forgive us, audience, I know this is a visual medium we're discussing here, but basically it's got two columns, and one is campaign settings, ad group settings. Now, if I'm understanding this correctly, because you flagged this to me, I don't know what this is all about, so I'm going to assume the role of the audience member. You know, this shows up after you've created a campaign inside Advertising Console. Is that right? This pops up.
Exactly, and like it's okay that you have like the budget and that kind of stuff, but like what was really super interesting for me is like how many products are advertised.
Yeah.
And like what are the negative product targetings? Like you can see like one brand or product is placed or negative, or like 15 of them or like whatever. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. like it's interesting to see that you have that kind of an option. Like that's something that is absolutely new. Like, do you feel like that's something that can be useful for sellers?
Yeah, I think this is useful for anyone who's building campaigns primarily through the Advertising Console interface. Like, you're not going to get this same feedback with a bulk file, a bulk operations, which, you know, is used for different purposes and is certainly, you know, useful. It's something that we use a lot. But if you have to go in and make a campaign quickly, or just making two or three, you know, it might not be suitable to pull out the bulk operations file and go to all that trouble. And if you finish up, you know, creating a campaign and ad group set, you get this information fed back to you. I think it's nice. It's great. It's a small, like, quality of life improvement, I would call it. In this particular screenshot you provided, I can tell by looking at it that this is a product targeting campaign, I think, right? So it says advertised product, exactly. 122 products are targeted. There's no negative products. Oh, no, there is. There's one negative product targeting. It says one brand or product. So maybe you're setting as negative one of your other products in your brand or your brand itself. And so that's just a helpful piece of information. You know, we didn't have visibility into that previously. So,
yeah, it's a nice overview. If you have OCD or that kind of stuff, like I'm that kind of a person that like triple checks everything. And like this is something that like can cure it a bit.
So. Right. This helps ameliorate that situation a bit. So related to this is another thing you pointed out and you know, put to my attention, which is this request a call feature. What is that all about?
Oh, yeah, that's something completely new. And like I feel like that Amazon is trying to make everybody more comfortable about creating campaigns and advertising on their platform. So when you go to choose your campaign type to create new campaign, like you obviously have like option to pick between sponsored product, brands, or display campaigns. But underneath of everything, like you, if you're not sure how to do it, there is a link called request a call. And that's something super interesting, because like, you're not like, in case you're not like familiar to how to do it, you can always get some help from Amazon advertising specialists directly from Amazon. That's going to help you to create your first campaign, obviously. And in case you started creating your campaign and like did something, and you, at some point, for some reason, any reason, basically, you decided to discard your campaign, now you have three options. First is obviously to stay on the page in case you like misclicked. The other one is like that we're used to call discard changes. Mm-hmm. And now there is completely new button called discard changes and request a call. And that's something super interesting.
And by the way, that button with the request a call, that's the one that they're really highlighting. They're making it that kind of Amazon yellow that we all know and love from their interface so well. And that is the one that is telling us what.
Yeah, that's definitely like a lot of text for one button, to be honest. Like, I wouldn't place it on my website, but like, it's probably working. Like, do you think that a lot of people are requesting?
I don't know, because I don't know whose team this is that they're putting together to like field these calls. Like, who is it on the Amazon side who I can get, to their desk by hitting this button? Is it someone in like a North American call center? Is it someone somewhere else in the world whose main objective with talking to you as the person advertising on the platform is to get you to spend more? Or are they trying to actually help you with strategy? I mean, I'm a bit suspicious of what their motivations are, because you and I have all been in those calls where we've talked to Amazon account execs and we've been a little bit like, okay, well, you know, these recommendations you're making and these campaigns that you've like auto built for us, I'm looking at these and I'm not sure if their intent is to spend a lot or if their intent is to really help this client get to their account objectives, whether that be reach or ACoS goals or whatever. So I have not tried this yet, although I am curious to ask someone on the team to go do it and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like combination of both. Like, I think that they give you like some basic answers and like basic information about like how to set it. They're probably not like deep diving in it, because like, I'm not really sure like that they're interested in providing such a huge value to sellers that are just starting, because like, they don't have their own personal gain on the other hand, like at that point, like that would cover all of the expenses of that like person that would be on the other side of the phone, you know.
Right, like, because FAQ articles and like videos scale well, but having hundreds of sellers who are maybe at the beginning stages of their kind of like educational journey with Amazon ads, calling Amazon and taking up 20, 30 minutes of people's time, that doesn't scale super well. So I don't know. I don't know who is behind these. You know, who are we talking to?
Yeah, they're probably just like, we don't have that option for all of the accounts. We have for some of them. So like, probably they're just still testing if that's something that they would like to do in the future.
Yeah.
So apart from calling Amazon to help you to create ads, Amazon is trying to help you more with, especially if you're creating sponsor brand campaigns and you have troubles with, if you're struggling with headlines. So what we saw recently that is like super, super cool that we really liked is like, when you add your product to advertise in your sponsor brand campaign, you add your brand name, you have your logo, you add your products. And when it comes to headline, there is something new called headline suggestion. So they take, I didn't know what's the logic behind it, but like, to be honest, headlines that they recommended to us, they all made sense. Like, they weren't just like a bunch of like nonsense, like just like randomly added.
Yeah.
So it all made sense for us.
It does. And I'm looking at the suggestions you have here. I won't read them off just for confidentiality reasons. But, you know, yeah, it's interesting to see that these are coherent, capital case sentences without punctuation. So clearly Amazon thinks, okay, writing headlines, and this is something that comes up on our team sometimes, like, is it good to have capital case? Like, every word has a capital letter and then there's no period at the end. Right. And Amazon's thinking is yes. And that's always been my thinking too. And they're pretty much explicitly telling us that by the way that these suggestions appear. And these are good suggestions. Like, they're straightforward, they're descriptive. You know, we can't expect Amazon's system here to come up with like clever jokes or something like that, but it does give us very straightforward information about what the products are, portrays them in a positive, you know, favorable light. And there's enough detail that if you were someone searching and you had put in an associated keyword, this would be something you would recognize as like a valid headline. So I'm really quite impressed with this. And I'm curious to notice this in some of our own products. I haven't seen this particular feature, but I'm also not building a lot of sponsored brands campaigns day to day at this point. So I'll have to ask the team, you know, what they see with this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. To be honest, I think like when it comes to this, it's more like if Alexa is learning, headline suggestions like should improve as well. Like, I think it's like the same AI engine working behind all of this, because like
that's an interesting idea.
This is something that person would say, like the headlines that they suggested, like this is something that you would like to hear. Like, I wouldn't think it was like mechanical stuff. Like it sounded more like something that is like organic.
Do you think they're pulling it from the bullet points, title, description, and just pulling out, you know, sentence phrases that they see people also search, and then basically, you know, padding those out with, you know, prepositions and some basic sentence structure? That seems to be what is probably happening here.
It might be. I literally have no idea.
Well, as usual, Amazon's not going to tell us. So yeah. We can speculate all we want and use it as a great feature for sure. And, you know, it's also worth noting, these are features we're talking about so far that are through the console interface. You know, you don't get the benefit of this through the API, as far as I'm aware, or through bulk operations. So, you know, we're not going to see these suggestions if we're going through those methods for building this type of campaign.
Yeah, this is like if you go straight to the interface on Amazon, you're going to see the suggestions. I'm pretty sure that you're not going to see anything like, oh, maybe some tool one day is going to use it. But like at this point, no. Like, I'm pretty sure like at this point, no tool has this.
Yeah, I doubt it. You know, we get a lot of these features that come to the AC interface first, and then they come to other places, if they do at all. Also related to sponsored brands is, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's certainly since last time we released an episode, but like since last time we've even spoke a couple of weeks ago, like sponsored brands video is now fully available, I think, in all the major European markets. And sponsored display has also now been released in a more significant fashion in the European markets. So all these things that were available in the US that we've been getting used to and, you know, using there are now being seen in the European marketplaces after we've had the chance to kind of like get used to them, practice using them and figure out what works. We are now using them in the European market. So I feel like they're moving things across the pond, so to speak, quicker, because they almost always come out in North America first.
Yeah, because it's the biggest market and it's like easiest place to A/B test stuff. And like Europe is always late for like 6 months or so. And like I feel like that gap is closing over time. So like the more benefits that you get in the US market, you're getting them faster in Europe. Like comparing to like a couple of years ago, like when you would wait for literally a year to get a new option in the European market. But like, yeah, one of the super important part when it comes to European market, and like I'm pretty sure that you can agree on this one, is like be absolutely sure that you have stuff translated, like videos in Germany, like to have like captions or like to in translated or to, it doesn't necessarily need to be like with different audio. You don't need to like record everything in German, let's say, but you need to have like some kind of subtitles in German. That would be like super useful.
Yeah, because you can have, and we've done this for clients, like you can have a an audio track in the background, like a just a generic like in the background, but then have the German subtitles. And as long as you do that, you're good, because a lot of people are going to watch it on mute anyway. But the subtitles is what's key. If you do have a voiceover, yeah, it's got to be in the language wherever you are. You know, even if it's Sweden, you got to find a Swedish person on Fiverr and get them to help you with that. So yeah, that's essential. And that provides some, you know, localization challenges, obviously, and a little bit of time to get things correct. But you know, going back to the sponsored brands video idea, you know, the basic iteration of what you can create for SBV is fairly simple. You know, you can have a 15 to 20 second slideshow you use, you create with like some simple software, put some background music over that, or just have subtitles. As long as you follow all of Amazon's guidelines, you can get that up and running. And if that is going to pass muster for Amazon's requirements in terms of file format and audio and stuff like that, you're good to go. You know, as long as it jives with your brand and you're okay with how it looks and things, you're good to go. So it doesn't need to be Hollywood quality.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense. There is one other thing that we both realize that is happening, but you have some really nice information about that, more than I am at this point, and it's about search term impression share. Like, can you tell us more about like what's search term impression share, where you can find it, and like why should we like take a look at it?
Yeah, this is quite an in-depth topic, and maybe in the future we'll do a full-on episode about just this one report, because this is something that came out last year for sponsored brands. So it was search term impressions for sponsored brands. And the idea there is it's telling you your impression share, like what share of voice you have in a given time period or day or whatever the report breakdown is, out of that total impressions in the market. Now, what's really notable about this is they more recently came out with sponsored products search term impression share. So the idea is the number of impressions you have received divided by the estimated number of impressions you were entitled to receive. So of those that were out there that you could have received. And this is, of course, based on things like your targeting strategy, your bids, obviously, quality, mm-hmm. your quality score, even though quality score isn't really an explicit statement on Amazon. I think, Lazar, you and I have long believed that quality score exists on Amazon. It's just not made apparent by Amazon in the interface. Maybe one day it will be.
For sure.
And the idea is to tell you, okay, what was your search term rank? Like, you were number three on this day for this particular search term, and this is how many impressions you received. And then if you actually do the math, you can, you know, kind of work your way backwards and figure out how many impressions there actually were. And this is something that's totally new for sponsored products, because as any listener of this show probably knows, the sponsored products impression pool is far greater than sponsored brands or sponsored display. It's just massive. Like, the number of impressions you can get from the multiple sponsored products placements all around Amazon, and in some narrow cases, you know, off Amazon, it's a tremendous number. So it's interesting to gauge that with this report. And I honestly haven't even dug into it enough and sat down and really tried to understand each column. There's a lot in there, and I think that maybe we should do a full episode on that in the future.
Yeah, definitely. For that episode, I think we should like double check, let's say, brand analytics, mm-hmm. and to see like what brand analytics says about the amount of impressions about certain keywords, and to mm-hmm. compare the numbers. Like, is it something that is remotely close or not? So that like, if the numbers are more or less okay and like in line, it means that basically brand analytics is providing more precise results than we thought. I don't know.
Yeah, because with brand analytics, we're only ever going to get that search frequency rank mm-hmm. Field, which will give us the number, right? But then if we are able to do the math on the search impression share on the sponsored product side, I wonder if we come up with, okay, it's, you know, 250,000 impressions were possible this day. And if we look at brand analytics, that's like, you know, number 20,000 or something. So we can peg that to that and be like, okay, these two things are related. So something that's number 20,000 in brand analytics has 250,000 impressions. Those numbers might be off, but just as an example.
You can go like super nerdy about that. Like, having in mind, like, what's your CTR, click-through rate for certain keyword and certain term, and like knowing the amount of impressions, you would know like how much money you would need to invest, like, to get certain amount of clicks, and out of the mm-hmm. certain amount of clicks, you probably already know how many sales you're getting. Like, and if you can like go super focused on one specific keyword, like, do you think that Amazon would let you like go that far and like to be that, like, that kind of a person that is gonna like 10x the investment for a certain keyword and try to like take the market for it.
Yeah, I think even we look back a couple of years ago, this kind of data was impossible because there was no avenue that Amazon provided by which we could try to make sense of some of these things. But now it's there.
I think we can go, like, as you said, like super nerdy about this one, and we should definitely create a dedicated episode about this one. I don't know if you realize, like, we usually, like, when we record stuff, we say, like, we should record an episode about this. Like, we have, like, a bunch of topics, like, that we didn't scratch at all, and we can go, like, super in-depth about all of them.
Well, we'll add it to the list, but I think it's a timely one just because it is fairly new. So the more we analyze
it, I think it's good to talk about this one. There is one thing that we skipped. I don't know like about you, but we are getting clients asking about one suggestion that they can see in the interface, and it's about sponsor brand campaigns sending people to their storefronts, to their stores, and giving them an information about average return on ad spend, increase in percentage, and so on to get to the store. So, like, obviously not all of the campaigns are going to lead people to the storefront of when it comes to sponsored brand campaigns, but, like, some of them, yes. I think this is, like, really good suggestion to have.
Yeah, like, you know what? I'm okay with Amazon surfacing this. Like, this is something that, of course, clients will ask about immediately if they're eagle-eyed and they log into their Seller Central and they see this pop up. And it's like, it's a new one of those little cards that you can move around that, like, home screen, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the verbiage of it is, you have sponsored brands campaigns not yet linked to your store. Like, not yet. It's like, you must do all of them. I mean, the reality is you can still use sponsored brands and send it to just what they call it, product collection, right? Like three or more products. And that still works just fine. Like, we have many, many campaigns and many, many accounts, some of which have been running in years for some cases, like, you know, aged sponsored brand campaigns that we've continued to refine the keywords and, you know, maybe alter the products that are in there. And now with the new features and sponsored brands, you can even change the copy and you can see the revision history on how that's gone. But they don't need to be going to the store page. It's nice, and we certainly use that as well. But it's funny because we've had clients who, as soon as they see this, you know, they'll immediately flag it as an issue or a concern. It's like, well, you know, those campaigns aren't working any less good than they were yesterday. It just so happens that now Amazon is surfacing this data for us, and that's fine. You know, one thing we do as an agency is we build store pages because, like, we are big believers in them and we use them a lot. But it doesn't mean that every sponsored brand campaign needs to be going to a store page. It's appropriate for many of them, but not every single one of them. So,
yeah, especially like if you're going to send people to the main page of your store or some specific page. So, like, there are so many options that you can do when it comes to sending people to, like, different parts of your landing page or, like, to send them to specific, like, group of products, like, not on the store. Like, as you mentioned, like, that type of targeting, like, works pretty good. Like, those landing pages, like, custom-made landing pages with a couple of products are working really, really good for us sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really, like, remove them from the account or pause them just because Amazon suggested something else.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not about to go and tell the team or, you know, go into accounts and manually redirect the traffic to the store pages away from these product collection pages, because they're just working well. There's no reason to put an end to them. If anything, we'll just build more sponsored brands because it continues to be a good ad type. And, you know, we already touched on video. That's another place where you can send traffic to it.
So. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
In fact, the last thing we can cover, what if we talk about sponsored display? Because I think we touched on this a little bit, you and I, before the call here to get ready. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think, this is the most, I would say, exciting thing this year as sponsored display starts to become very familiar looking to anyone who's dealt with DSP, and the targeting options and abilities of it are slowly expanding and kind of like almost blending together with DSP. Mm-hmm. The two are becoming very close cousins, I'll say. And, you know, we're recording this towards the end of March, but I can say, you know, at this time, I have some information like the audience segment targeting is set to go live with sponsored display in the next like 2-3 weeks. So we should see even more options there. Lazar, you mentioned during our discussion that there's the ability to do audience retargeting. And yeah, we've been using that for a while. I think that's something really worth noting. Honestly, like mixed results. In some accounts, it works well. You need enough sessions to really make it work. Any thoughts on sponsored display?
Well, as you said, like they're giving more and more options. Like one of the latest ones is like user remarketing, which is like helping you to reach custom audiences who view the product detail page, matching criteria that you choose, which is like really, really good. We have mixed results at this point. For some of the people, it's working really good. For some of them, not that much. When it comes to DSP, remarketing on DSP is working insanely good for us, for example. And I feel like that's at that point, like Amazon is giving like bigger advantage when it comes to remarketing going through DSP than from display retargeting ads from directly from the interface. Like, I don't know, like what you saw there, but like that's just the case with us.
Well, there's just so many more options with DSP, and that's how it will continue to be differentiated as a platform. I mean, there's things that SD is never going to have, like some of the more complex targeting features that DSP benefits from. Those things will intentionally not be brought to sponsored display because I think they want Amazon, that is, to have people try SD to become proficient at it within Seller Central, Advertising Console, and then at some point kind of graduate to DSP with its better capabilities and more finely tuned features. And also it's like reach. So we can see when we build audience targeting types with sponsored display that the placements are showing up off Amazon, right? So it's not just on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy new thing actually to be able to reach placements that are off Amazon inside of the Amazon interface. It's pretty wild. However, we don't have a lot of good customization, reporting, optimization features for that. We just know that it's happening. We barely have any insight into it. So they still have a long way to go there. And same thing with the reports. The reports for sponsored display right now are still, I don't want to say useless, but they're not super useful.
Yeah, I was going with word basic, but basic.
Like, oh, that's much nicer. That's much nicer. Yeah, I think that you win the diplomacy award there for sure.
Yeah, so I think like that is like more or less that we wanted to cover like in today's episode, like because like these are like some random like stuff that we just noticed like in the last month or so that happened on Amazon, and like the. And for the next episode, we are going to have dedicated episode for one specific topic. And we just felt like that we needed to have a quick update on what's going on with different kind of stuff.
Yeah, quick jump back in the game here. And I think we have a short list of topics. And, write in if you want to hear about anything specific, we can talk about that too. So don't hesitate to send an email in. Lazar, what's the best email I can send in again?
ask@wildppcbunch.com.
There you go. Boom. Sounds good.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man, for your call today. And sure, see you guys in the next episode.
All right. See y'all.
Bye.